No, dear brethren, that as we have rejoiced at the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, so by leave of God's mercy, we announce to you also the joy of his resurrection, who is our Savior. On the 14th day of February will fall Ash Wednesday, in the beginning of the fast of the most sacred Lenten season. On the first day of April, you will celebrate with joy Easter Day, the Paschal feast of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the 10th day of May will be the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the 20th day of May, the Feast of Pentecost. On the 3rd day of June, the Feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ. On the 2nd day of December, the first Sunday of Advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom is honor and glory forever and ever. This announcement of the movable days of the feasts in the year is traditionally read or proclaimed on Epiphany Sunday, the Sunday that I think many times kind of gets lost in the translation. But Epiphany simply means a manifestation or an appearance. So the celebration today is the appearance of God's glory in a visible form in our world. In sacred scripture, this is done in a variety of ways. The wedding of Cana, the nativity, the visit of the Magi, all of these and more. Manifestations, epiphanies of God's glory. For the early Jewish people, sacred scripture was the basis of their expectations. Centuries before Christ came into this world, Isaiah was there and he wrote of these events. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. This light is the Lord himself, the star that the Magi recognize and follow. He is also the wealth of the nations that is brought to Jerusalem. Men from outside of Judah will come, bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh, proclaiming the praises of the Lord. In their time, the wise men fulfilled this prophecy. God's restoration of Jerusalem, promised to Isaiah, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, proclaimed by the Magi. But who were these Magi? Where were they from, and why do they show up at Mary and Joseph's door? We can imagine Mary and Joseph looking outside. They're used to seeing strange people, but now they see these foreign kings showing up. And so I'm sure they asked themselves these questions and more. They had seen the angels and the shepherds. And now these foreign pagan dignitaries show up. Probably not the ones that we would choose if we were going to announce something world-changing, but it is who God chooses. And through them, God is really showing us his humility. Being born in poverty, away from home, not even a room in the local inn to be born in. He's born in a stable, laid in a manger. These first witnesses that we have of Christ's birth are social misfits. Shepherds living on the fringe of society. And now these foreigners, these pagans, they show up. But they're showing something very special and very real about God's providence. These were most likely educated men, the opposite of the shepherds. They were astrologers who would notice something different in the heavens, something that so many others never even saw. They were likely from Persia or thereabouts, familiar with the Jewish faith. When they come to Herod, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star is rising and have come to do him homage. These gifts that they bring are not the gifts of a poor person. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are gifts for a newborn king. And he is the king of all, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, and he will reign over heaven and earth. These various epiphanies point these out and more. So what do the Magi have for us in 2018? I think they tell us that God gives every person a sign. Whether they're believers or unbelievers, there are signs. If we have hearts and minds that are humble to open and to receive these signs. For believers, it goes deeper. It's a sign that Christ has come for all people. Shepherd and king, the rich, the poor, men and women, Jew, Gentile alike. This term Catholic, is in Roman Catholic, is universal. We're not limited to the family that we were born into. We're not limited to the times that we were born into. This genetic testing, 23andMe, there's something that is even more important. And that is really can be boiled down to 3andMe. Because at our baptism, every one of us is born into the family of the Holy Trinity. The Magi has a word for those who may be just drifting along in their faith. They reveal a sign. There's a personal sign, a personal invitation for each one of us to come home, showing us the way if we have eyes and ears open to the truth. They teach us that we may have occasional darkness in our lives. The star disappeared from the sight of the Magi for a time, and they rejoiced in its return. No matter how dark we may be experiencing right now in our lives, God's light is present, even though we may not be aware of it. But with perseverance, His light will be there to guide us to Christ's light. And they teach us that it may be a long journey. We don't know how long the Magi were traveling, but we do know that after they had had their encounter with Herod, when they did not return to him, Herod ordered the death of all the boys, 2 years old and under. So it makes sense that the Magi had been traveling for at least that long. They had a long journey. We also learn that the encounter will change us. The Magi encountered Christ, and they went home by another way. No one comes to Christ and leaves without a change. We may find that our life is in need of some adjustment. We may find that our priorities are not in line with the truth. We may find that there are some things in our life that have to be changed. A part of me might have to die so that we can say with John the Baptist, I must decrease so he may increase. Perhaps there are some bad habits that need to die so that virtue can grow in my life. Are there people in my life that are not leading me closer to God? Sometimes we have to cut away. How about my business? How am I treating others? How about in my school? Am I living the gospel message in my everyday life? For St. Paul and for us, he tells us that this is a mystery to be revealed. We don't force God's hand, and he will not impose his will into our hearts and into our lives. His star is an invitation. His glory is wrapped in the flesh of this babe. His word is cloaked in silence. He is adored by the angels. God has given each and every one of us so many gifts and talents, and we are called to develop them so that this nugget of gold can become a bag of gold, so this little bit of frankincense can be burned up, so that the myrrh can be used to give God glory. This gifts that we have, what are we doing with them? Am I simply grasping them, holding them, trying to keep them all for myself? Or do I have the humility to come to lay them at the foot of this manger? For as Pope John Paul VI tells us, we have an obligation. Others may be able to be saved without hearing of the gospel, but can we be saved without preaching it? Not in word alone, but we need to preach it in every action, in every choice, in every word, every day, every moment of our lives.